Today, we are continuing a worship series called Our Money Story. We're looking at stories in the Bible of times when God has provided for us and times when we have provided for each other. The series is divided into four sections: Remember, Release, Reimagine, and Restore. Last week, we remembered that even though the Israelites complained, God still gave them manna to eat in the wilderness. And even though Judas betrayed his Savior, Jesus still welcomed him to the table for their Last Supper together. This week and next, we are contemplating the second theme of the series, release, looking at stories that challenge us to let go of some of the things that we take for granted. Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to the man, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." The man said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to live in complete faith, go, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord. The man went away grieving because Jesus had answered a question that wasn't the one that he had asked. He had asked, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" What good deed? He doesn't ask what virtues he needs to strive for. He doesn't ask for advice on how to live a good life. He doesn't ask how to solve a problem or settle a disagreement. He doesn't ask what he should try to improve in his personal life. He doesn't ask for forgiveness, or for wisdom, or for healing, or for a reason to keep going. He doesn't even ask for anything trivial, like for a sports team to win a game, or for cookies not to be burned when you suddenly realize you forgot to set the timer and don't know how long they've been in the oven. He doesn't even ask for a pony, or for a strong marriage, or for a healthy family. Instead, he asks what good deed he must do to have eternal life. As if eternal life were something that could be bought for the low, low price of one single good deed. As if God could be bargained with. As if following Jesus Christ were only a means to an end. That isn't how it works. That isn't how any of this works. The man asks what one good deed he must do to have eternal life. Jesus does not answer that question because the question makes a false assumption that there could be one single good deed that could impress God so much that the winner would be immediately rewarded with the prize of eternal life, a new refrigerator, and a cruise to Alaska. No one good deed could buy you all of that. In the ancient world, there were religions that were transactional. In exchange for the sacrifice of an animal, it was understood that a god might grant you a good crop, or victory in battle, or safe travels. But our God isn't like that. Our God gives away love and grace and salvation freely, without demanding anything in return. God's economy doesn't work the way that ours does. So Jesus looks at the man who thinks that he can buy salvation, and maybe he raised an eyebrow as he asked essentially, "Dude, really? That's your question? If you want to enter into life, if you want to really live, follow the commandments." And the man asks, "Which ones?" Like he's trying to negotiate the least amount of work he can put into this transaction and still buy the outcome that he wants. Jesus reminds him of a few of the commandments. But the man says, yeah, I've heard that part. I'm good. I followed those commandments. Now tell me what I need to do to get eternal life." His goal is still only to get a benefit for himself. He's treating God like a vending machine, but God isn't dispensing the secrets of the universe that he wants. So now the man is getting frustrated. And I imagine that Jesus is starting to get a little frustrated too. What is it going to take to get through to this man? Following God isn't about getting something good for yourself. Grace isn't something you can buy. Following God is about working towards the good of others. God's grace has always been there, freely offered, just waiting for us to accept it. So Jesus tells the man to go and sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. That gets his attention. The man stops arguing, stunned into silence, and we are told that he went away grieving, because, after all, he had many possessions. Something in Jesus' words has finally hit home. His goal should never have been to presume that he could buy God's love. His goal should have been to share in God's love. Faith isn't a means to a single end goal. Faith is the way you live your life. I remember a sermon that my late pastor, Jeff Grabiel, gave on this story. He shared a narrative from the young man's perspective, beginning in indignation and anger at the words of Jesus, but eventually coming to consider that maybe he'd been working towards the wrong goal all along, that it was his relationships with others that could give his life meaning, not his money or his ego. He tosses and turns all night until, first thing next morning, he gathers together his possessions to sell them, then runs to find Jesus to ask if the offer is still open, if he can still come and follow. People like to say that money is the root of all evil, but I don't think that's fair, because money isn't sentient. We are the ones who choose to hurt each other, not money itself, although we have often used money to hurt each other. It is one thing to be able to meet our basic needs, and I don't think that Jesus is telling us to starve ourselves in order to feed others. But it is another thing to look at the resources that we have and make the transition from asking how they can benefit us to asking how we can use our resources to help others and to better the lives of those around us. That isn't always money. Time and presence and support are also valuable resources that we can share. God tells us to love our neighbors, and that means looking outside of ourselves to learn about our neighbors and the kind of love that they need. Love multiplies, and grace is always free. That is God's economy.